We open your Bibles tonight to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Tonight we're going to look at verse 7. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. The Bible says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Let's pause just for a moment. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts tonight. Use the life of Noah that it would encourage us and challenge us, and Lord, even rebuke us. I pray, Father, that we would realize that, Father, we're like Noah. Somebody is watching us. Someone is following in our footsteps, unbeknownst to us. So go, God, help us to be found faithful and honoring you so that those who come from behind, Lord, can honor you as well. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've been studying the lives of Abel. He taught us about worship. That was in verse 4. And in verse 5, we studied Enoch last week, and that had to do with, the week before last, about walking by faith. But tonight we come in Noah, we're going to examine another aspect of faith. We're going to talk about faith that works, a faith that serves, a faith that has fruit. So we've already studied worship with Abel, Enoch. We had walking by faith, and now tonight we're going to be studying in Noah's life. What does it look like? How does faith work and serve? And it's easy to think about it because when you have faith and God asks you to do something, out of your obedience, that's where you learn to serve. That's the fruit that'll come out of your life as you honor the Lord. Verse 7 gives us a balance. I want you to go back to verse 5 just for a moment in Hebrews 11. "By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was found because God has translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God." And then you go to verse 7. "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark." It's amazing when we put it in that situation that we see one, verse 5, he's following God because he's in love with God. And the other one in verse 7 by Enoch, he's following God what? Out of fear. Out of fear. Can God use fear? Can God use love? He can use both of those, folks. So it's out of love with Enoch, but it's out of fear with Noah. They say, well, it doesn't say that. Oh, but it's in there. Read it again. "Now, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet," he moved with what? Fear. He moved with fear. Tonight as we come, I want to do something. I want us to come and understand that Satan is going to do everything he can to hinder us, handcuff us, do everything he can to try to confuse us and mislead us about our faith and about works. And this is what we've got to be careful of. We know that you can't be saved by works. We know that. We do know that, don't we? Okay, I just want to make sure I'm not the only one listening. We do know that. Okay, but we have to be careful because sometimes we have to measure ourselves, and we do that, what, with somebody else. We'll see something else, somebody's going through a time, or maybe, you know, whatever it may be. We measure do I have enough faith? Could I do what they're doing? Could I do that? But here's the other side of that. If you think that you have to work up your faith, you have to do some things. In other words, well, I have to do this because I want to exercise my faith muscles. Nope, you don't do it that way. Remember, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Our faith is stronger only as what we embrace what God gives us. It's not doing. You just talked about obedience and doing. Listen, faith is what you embrace. Your confidence in God, your trust in God, you'll do that. Then after you've embraced that, then what will be the fruit? Then you'll have fruit. You'll have works to prove it. But you can't get those. To be honest, you've got to keep them as far apart as you possibly can. Because there's a lot of people outside these four walls. They're thinking that, you know what? I've got to work. I've got to do more better. I've got to do good things. I've got to continue to work hard. You know, I want the Lord to be pleased with me. I want my faith to grow, so I've got to keep busy doing things. It doesn't work that way. Unless our wills are broken, unless our hearts have been brought into subjection to God, we have no scriptural warrant for concluding that he has begun a good work in us. So first, it's our relationship with Christ. And then, listen, after we've enjoyed his peace, after we've enjoyed his goodness and his love and his forgiveness, and we have embraced that, then what? Then we begin to have good works, things that please us, things that please God. Let me think of another way to share it. Could you imagine trying to work on an airplane at 35,000 feet going 550 miles an hour and the second engine on the right wing, something's wrong with it? Are you going to crawl out there and fix it? So you can't do that, David. You cannot hope that, okay, if your relationship and your fellowship with God is not secure and you're not confident in your walk with God, when you get out and you're trying to do things for him, you can't fix that on the fly is what I'm trying to say. You've got, listen, we've got it all backwards. We must be careful to understand that it's my relationship with God, it's my fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, it's being filled with the Holy Spirit. There's my preparation for whatever I'm going to do, for whatever God asks me to do, whatever. To the unbeliever, listen, Satan will come, he will convince a person that he can be saved by doing certain kinds of good works. That's postmodernism, by the way. If the strategy works, the person will be lost to God forever. Why? Because they've done something and God is pleased with them. If a person, this is to the believer, if a person trusts in God and is saved, Satan then tries to convince them of one of two extremes. First of all, that he must do good works to keep his salvation. That's legalism. Or secondly, now that he is saved, he doesn't have to do anything. That's license. Don't have to do a thing. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm all right there. From Genesis to Revelation, the Bible is clear that a person is saved only by faith and that when he is saved, good works should follow as a result. Listen to that order. Good works should follow as a result. The saints that are listed here in Hebrews 11, their genuine faith was made known by the things they did in response to God's word. Faith is not an invisible entity. Faith cannot be seen except in the things that it does. Noah worshiped God faithfully as Abel, and he walked with God faithfully as Enoch. He also served God faithfully. Now let's take this apart tonight. First of all, Noah responded to God's word. God's going to do a work of grace in his heart. Remember what that verse says over there in Genesis chapter 5? It talks about how society's caving in. It's all bad. It's not looking good. But Noah found what? Grace in the eyes of God. Noah had a relationship. Watch this now. He had a relationship with God. He had confidence. His trust was in God. He understood that when God was speaking to him and nobody else, folks, he had all of that down before he began to build the ark. God told Noah that he's going to destroy the world. Noah dropped everything and started building the ark. His faith involved the whole person. His mind, God's revealed word. His heart, he moved with fear. His will, he acted upon what God told him to do. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 57 just for a moment. Psalm 57, 7. I was reading this morning. Psalm 57, 7. Psalm 57, 7. David, he's complaining of the danger that he's in. And he talks about, I cry out for God, and you know, I don't know where you are, and you know, my soul is among the lions, verse 4, they're eating me alive. But he gets down to verse 7. Listen to his resolve. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Psalm 57, David is in the midst of a trial. People are after him. They want him dead. And he's fearful. But yet he gets to that place and he says, wait a minute. Go back to verse 6. Let me show you something. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, into the midst whereof they are fallen themselves. And what's that word? Selah. Okay, he takes a time out. He's sitting still. He's thinking about God. And look at verse 7. My heart is fixed, O God. He's not looking at the pits. He's not looking at all this. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. And look at David. In the midst of, life and death, what's he saying? I will sing and give praise unto God. That's what I'm trying to get across to you tonight. The fact that we must have that solid relationship, knowing who God is, understanding when he speaks to me, knowing to hear his voice, learning that. It doesn't come overnight. And then knowing that I've got God's love and God's grace and God's direction. Then we move out. Noah received God's message of judgment. It was a single command. Look in verse 7 again, back in Hebrews 11. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, he moved with fear. Now, understand that verse. I apologize for my voice. It's going to get better when you're... He said, but listen to what he says. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. God said, I'm going to flood the earth. Noah had never seen rain. He'd never seen water. And God's going to do what? Flood the whole earth. So what does he do? Listen, he moved with fear, preparing an ark. He moved. Once he got it, then he moved. Let us be careful. Well, I think I understand what God wants me, what he wants me to do, and then just go off and start trying to do it. And then we have to have one of those prayers where we say, God, would you please bless my mess, because I've made another one. Human reason was altogether opposed to what God had made known. What did God make known? Over in Genesis chapter 6, we need to go over there for a minute, and we're probably going to be there when we finish tonight. Genesis chapter 6, the Lord made this known. Verse 3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. Human reason wants to speak all against that. Well, who's God? He's going to strive. He's no longer going to strive with us. What does that mean? It means God's personal. He wants to have a relationship with you. But this is how the human reason just pushes it all away, defends it, if you please. If you were in a sword fight, they'd be blocking everything you say about God. Now watch this. It had never rained. That's in Genesis 2:6. So why would you expect a flood? It seemed unlikely that God would destroy the entire human race, but what about his mercy? It would utterly be swallowed up by his avenging justice. The judgment was still 120 years away. That's in Genesis 6:3. Nobody believed Noah's message except his family. Second thing I want you to see in Genesis 6:9, Noah had already received God's message of salvation. Look in verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. God's going to build the ark, we're going to cover this, and then I'm going to close down. I don't want to get too far. God's going to build the ark, and the ark itself is going to be a picture of our salvation that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. You said, Dave, you're talking about the ark. They put all the animals on it. Yes, listen. God's plan. The pitch, this is in 6:9. The pitch is the same word used for atonement. The pitch, this is the tar they put on the outside. The pitch kept the water of judgment from entering the ark, just as Christ's atoning blood keeps God's judgment from the sinner. You see that picture? If they would not have put pitch on the ark and the flood came, what would have happened? The water would be like an act of judgment. It would have gotten inside and drowned everybody. But the pitch, listen, the pitch is that which keeps the water of judgment out. It's the blood of Christ that keeps God's judgment from the sinner. You remember in the Exodus, those Israelites were told to do what? Take blood, put it on the lintel and on the doorpost. And make sure you were inside. And when the death angel came, and the Bible says, when he saw the blood, what did he do? He passed over. That's where they get Passover from. The ark, imagine this now. And you wonder why it took him so long to build it. It's huge. It's 438 feet long. It's 1.5 football fields. 73 foot wide. It's 44 feet high. It's four stories. It's a total of 96,000 square feet. You've got this, it's an aircraft carrier. That's what it looks like. It's sitting out there in the desert. And they're thinking, what are you building this big boat, you know, out here? Because judgment's coming. Go back up and you're still in Genesis 6. Look in verse 1. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And then the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with men. It says here the sons of God. Now, who are they? I believe they're fallen angels. I really do. I believe they're fallen angels. They fell with Lucifer. And they cohabitated with the daughters of men, and that's where some say the giants came from. You say, well, you're just talking about, listen, that's where demonism came on the earth, I believe, in Genesis 6, because it was here. It was here because of Satan and his disobedience. But Noah, because he'd already received God's message of salvation, he knew the plan. Now he understands the purpose. The ark, again, it's a beautiful picture of our salvation. But it was large enough to hold all the animals needed to assure that the species would survive, 35,000 vertebrates. It was large enough to hold every person who would come to God for salvation. Yet, 1 Peter tells us, only 8 souls were saved. The only ones who perished were those who rejected God's plan. Do you see the simplicity of this? If you get in the boat, God has provided you with the boat. If you'll get inside, you'll be saved. We tell people today, you need to be in Christ. He's our ark, if you please, our salvation. If you'll be in Christ, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Being in Christ. Now, what this does is this. What this does, it pushes away works because it's Jesus. It pushes away legalism because it's what God has done on your behalf. And listen, you can't do anything. You couldn't do enough to get God's attention to begin with. But it takes all the pressure off of you thinking, I got to do something. I. What happened to Satan in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28? He said I 5 times in Isaiah 14. He wanted to be like the Most High God in the end. When you and I start thinking out of ways, how can I appease God? How can I get God's attention? How can I get God to love me more? When we start doing that, folks, listen, it's very, very dangerous to even go there. Noah, go back to 11:7 in Hebrews, and I'll close. Noah rebuked the world with his obedience. Now, that sounds odd, doesn't it? Look in verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, he moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which, listen, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by God. Out of his obedience, listen, his obedience was a rebuke to the world. All of those standing around looking at Noah, they're thinking, he's a fool, he's lost his mind, he's building this thing, and they think, like, he calls it a boat, it's not going to float, you know, all this. Every day that he put a nail in that thing, every day he spread pitch on it, and then he started putting the animals on there, was a rebuke and a condemnation to their unbelief. Now watch this, and I close. Every time that you and I obey the Lord Jesus, we go against the grain. We stand up because something's wrong. We stand up against it. Every time we do that, it is a rebuke to the lostness of the world around us. When you get up in the morning and you turn on your dining room light and you're in there having your coffee and you've got your Bible open, your neighbors know what you're doing. That's a rebuke to them. Do you understand that when we go out and it happens every once in a while, you'll go out in the restaurant and the waitress, they might have to be real busy and she gets the bill wrong. We don't have to act like crazy people over it. It's just money. Just take care of it and be kind and gracious. It's not her fault. You know, and if it is, it doesn't matter. But how we respond to that is a rebuke to everybody else around us who goes in there and just shows off and shows out when something's not right, something's not perfect. Folks, how we live our lives needs to be a rebuke to the world. Somebody hurts us, and they don't get it, and they don't understand, and they're not going to apologize. Move on. That's a rebuke to the world. Why? I'm not going to live and die over. I'm going to hold my breath until they apologize. Well, you better get an oxygen tank because this is going to be a long time. It's a rebuke. How we raise our children, how we pay our bills, how we conduct ourselves, it's a rebuke to the world. It's a rebuke to the world. Every Easter sunrise service, I stand up there in the choir singing, and I just watch people, and I just look at them. Some people come, and they're remorseful. Some people, it's a sad time for them. Some people, it's you can just tell they get caught up in the music and just the energy there, and that's the Spirit of God moving. They get caught up in it, and they've got the smile on their face. I don't know where they go to church. I don't know. But I'm telling you, there's three kinds of people in every sunrise service, and you can stand up there, and you can see them. What we do is a rebuke to all of St. John's County. The way we sing, the way we preach, when we baptize, it's a rebuke to people. Why? Listen, because it brings conviction, and it bothers them. Not jealousy, but it bothers them to the point, hopefully and prayerfully, that they'll know that the answer is the Lord Jesus Christ and everything that we do down there. Now, we do this unconsciously. We do it unconsciously. I watch some of our people and our ladies, you go around and you're welcoming people, you know, and I can see it in their face when they say, well, you act like this is your church down here. Well, it is going to be that way for about another hour and a half. And they just, you know, they just want to come, and they want to have distance, but folks, the thing is this, though, everything that we do in our obedience is a rebuke to the world. Now, remember what I said. Your faith has to come before works. And faith is what? It's when you embrace, you accept. Listen, it becomes a part of your life. Everything that you are, everything that we can get from Christ, His grace, His mercy, His love. Because then when we get out in the world, guess what? There's grace, mercy, and love coming out of us. Why? Because we got it here. And we have to keep refueling. And then whatever may come up next, when we go out to the world, it's like the world drains us. It's faith, mercy, grace, love, gentleness, kindness. And we're able to do that. But if we don't spend the time with Him and our faith is not strong in Him, we're going to be manipulative. We're going to be fussy. We're going to be critical. And it just goes on down the line. I can always tell when I'm not where I'm supposed to be, how I respond if somebody does just the slightest thing. I catch myself. It's not them, it's me. God sent them to expose my own heart. It's not them, it's me. I know what I have to do. I know what I need to do. First thing, I get away from everybody. But I know that. But remember, our salvation. One last verse, I got 2 minutes. John 17. John 17. This is part of Jesus' his high priestly prayer. John 17. He says, and he's praying, excuse me, Father, the hour is come. The hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this, watch verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Your salvation is not praying a prayer. Your salvation is what? Knowing Jesus, knowing God, embracing Him. Working out your salvation, Paul says. That's our salvation. And that's what we give away to people. Amen? All right, let's pray. Lord Jesus, tonight I pray that my voice did not distract away from your message. God, help us tonight just to stop, slow down. Our salvation is not just, I prayed a prayer, I joined a church, I got baptized. But my salvation is knowing God, knowing Christ. Not just giving lip service, but knowing Him. God, having that hunger to want to know more of Him. So God, I pray tonight that you do that work of grace in our hearts. Lord, if we've gotten caught up in works, we've got caught up, Lord, in just, Lord, and just, you know, doing the Christian things. God, I wonder how dim our light is when we do that. God, awaken us to the place that we're honest. We accept what you say about us. Psalm 139, verse 23. Oh God, show me my way, Lord. Show me what's wrong within me. Take the covers off, Lord. Let me see what you see. And then, Lord, I do something about it. I don't complain. I don't say I'm a victim. Oh God, take that out of my life through repentance and confession. And God, Fill that place with your word. Fill that place with the power of your spirit, because I don't want to go back there again. I don't want to be that way. Oh, God, help us to do that. Thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. God, it's sweet to have the children serenading us behind. I look forward, Lord, to their program they'll do in December. But God, until that time comes, help us to understand that our lives, the way we live, the way we obey you, the way we love you, our Father, it's a rebuke to a world that says, I don't like it, I don't want it, you can keep it. Oh God, there's some out there that do. Lead us to them, that we can share Jesus with them. In your name we pray. Amen.